Let's take a moment now just to quieten our hearts before the Lord, just to let go of all the things that have hindered us this week, the sins that so easily have entangled us. Help us to just really focus our eyes right now on Jesus, who is the author and the perfecter of our faith. Let's pray. Our Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you that as we come into your presence this morning, that we come full of the celebrations of this past week. Lord, as we have focused on the birth of your Son, Jesus, and all that Jesus' coming has meant for us in the past, but also, Lord God, how his coming in the future will again bring about transformation to all that will be in the future for us. So Lord, as we come into your presence today, Lord Jesus, we thank you for the opportunity to be able to meet with you around your word. Lord Jesus, you are the Lord of this church. You are the one who walks among the lampstands. You are the Ancient of Days who speaks in the word of God with power and authority. And we come and we sit under your power and your authority today, Lord Jesus. And we thank you that we have the privilege of being part of your forever family because of all that you have done for us on the cross of Calvary. And Lord Jesus, we thank you as well for the way that you have poured out your Spirit upon us. And we thank you, Holy Spirit, for your presence here today as you bring about clarity and understanding, and as you speak to us and open the eyes of our hearts so that we might be able to see you clearly today as our Father, Son, Holy Spirit, Most High God. And so, Lord, as we come together today, give us hearts that are open and receptive to hear the word that you have for us regarding this great vision that Isaiah received, that vision of you high and lifted up, that vision of you with the fullness of your glory filling the temple, and that vision of healing and forgiveness of sins. Oh, Lord God, we just pray that today as we just open our hearts and our minds up to you, Lord, that you would indeed fill us with a renewed sense of mission and vision and purpose as we look to this new year. And Lord, we do thank you for all the things that you have done in, around, and through us this past year as a church family. And so Lord, we give you praise, we give you the glory today as we come to the end of this year, and as we look forward to a new year of your blessing, we just pray, Lord, that you would give us a real sense of your presence and your peace. Lord, we love you. We praise you. We thank you for all your good blessings to us. And now, Lord, we just ask that you would open, as we open up your word, that you would speak to us, for your servants are listening. And we pray all these things in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. Well, this morning, we are at the end of this year, 2024, last Sunday of this year, and as you know, we have been working through on the first Sunday of each month a series this year on building community, and really being able to understand what it means to be the body of Christ and how the body of Christ impacts the world around us. Well, as I was praying about it and as I was seeking God's direction for this new year coming up, the first Sunday of the month, what that series would look like, I had a real clear sense that where we needed to go this next year was in the area of vision. Vision. What is it? What is the vision? As God's people, when we come together in community, what is it that God is stirring up within us? What is it that God is doing among us that we are being called to participate in? What is the vision that God has for us? And so this new year, I won't be here next Sunday morning for the first Sunday of the month, so I thought I would do this today and give you the introduction to the series that we're going to be following through, and it's called Be Thou My Vision. And that beautiful song, the hymn that we just sang, is just very expressive of how we live our life when we are filled with God's vision for us. And so today I thought that the best place to start this series would be in Isaiah chapter 6, verses 1 to 13. In that beautiful vision that God gave to Isaiah at the beginning of his ministry as a prophet. And so let me just read for you these verses from Isaiah chapter 6, verses 1 to 13. This is what Isaiah writes. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and exalted, seated on a throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were seraphim, each with six wings. With two wings they covered their faces, with two they covered their feet, and with two they were flying. And they were calling to one another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory." And at the sound of their voices, the doorposts and thresholds shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. "Woe to me," I cried, "I'm ruined, for I'm a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty." Then one of the seraphim flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from the altar. With it, he touched my mouth and said, "See, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin atoned for." Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send and who will go for us?" And I said, "Here am I, send me." And then he said to me, "Go to this people. Be ever hearing, but never understanding. Be ever seeing, but never perceiving. Make the hearts of this people calloused. Make their ears dull and close their eyes. Otherwise they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn and be healed." Then I said, "For how long, Lord?" And he answered, "Until the cities lie ruined and without inhabitant, until the houses are left deserted and the fields ruined and ravaged, until the Lord has sent everyone far away and the land is utterly forsaken. And though a tenth remains in the land, it will again be laid waste. But as the terebinth and the oak leave stumps when they are cut down, so the holy seed will be the stump in the land." This is God's word. Thanks be to God. You know, this prophecy or this vision that Isaiah had is an amazing vision. You know, as I've been looking it over this week, I was just really touched, moved, and inspired by just how this vision is an upward, inward, and outward vision. And in order for us to really understand how this vision came about and what its meaning is for us today, we really need to understand a little bit about the prophet Isaiah. And Isaiah was a prophet who lived in the 8th century BC. He lived in the days of a number of kings of the kingdom of Judah. By this time, Judah or the kingdom of Israel had fractured into two separate kingdoms, the north and the south kingdom. The one kingdom was the kingdom of Israel, and the other was the kingdom of Judah. And so he lived in the time when Uzziah was the king of Judah. Jotham, his son, who succeeded Uzziah. Then he lived through the reigns of Ahaz, Hezekiah, and as we'll discover in a moment, his life came to an end during the kingdom of Manasseh. And so, what do we know about Isaiah? Well, we don't know a lot about him, but we do know that he wrote one of the largest prophetic books of the Bible. The prophecy of Isaiah is one of the longest prophetic works in the Old Testament. And the Isaiah scroll is one of the oldest fully intact manuscripts of the Old Testament that we have today. It's really interesting that this book of Isaiah, this prophecy of Isaiah, which is one of the most incredible prophecies that speaks about Jesus, is one of the only prophecies from the Old Testament, books from the Old Testament, that we have a completely intact copy of. That copy of that scroll, the Isaiah scroll, was found in 1949 as part of the Dead Sea Scrolls that was found, the Dead Sea Scrolls that were found near Qumran in Israel. And so the scroll dates back over 2,000 years. And so that one document has all the 66 books, 66 chapters of Isaiah intact. And so we know with certainty that this book of Isaiah, this prophecy of Isaiah, dates right back to the time of Jesus himself. So that's a really significant thing to understand about this book of Isaiah. But we also want to know a little bit about Isaiah himself. And again, I said there's not a lot that we know about Isaiah. We do know that he was the son of Amoz. That's what we're told. And Amoz was possibly, well, Jewish tradition tells us that Amoz was the brother of King Amaziah of Judah, who was Uzziah's father. Okay, so Isaiah, the prophet, was possibly connected to the royal family through his uncle, Amaziah. And so that's a really interesting thing, that he was a prophet among kings. Now, a little bit of more personal background about Isaiah is that he was married to a prophetess with two children. So he was a family man. you know. And they were in the family business. His wife was a prophetess. He was a prophet. So they, you know, were those who people who were very in tune with God, listening for God's voice. And they named their two sons, some very interesting names. The first one is Shear-Jashub, which means a remnant will return. These are prophetic names that they gave to their sons. And the other son was Maher-Shalal-Hashbaz. How would you like to have that moniker? No? No. Well, it meant quick to the plunder, swift to the spoil. And in the book of Isaiah, in the prophecies of Isaiah, these names of his children were given to him by God so that it would reveal something about the nation, how God was relating to the nation of Israel. And that's about all we know about Isaiah on a personal scale. But we also know the last bit of information was that he died during the reign of the wicked king Manasseh. And it's believed that in Hebrews chapter 11, the faith chapter of Hebrews, where it talks about those prophets who were, how they met the end of their life. Well, the one where the prophet that it talks about being sawn in two was referring to Isaiah. So he did not meet with a very, very nice death for his faithfulness in delivering the message that God had given him to the various kings that he served or he prophesied under. So what else do we know about the book of Isaiah or the historical background of the prophet Isaiah? Well, he prophesied during the kingdom, a time when the kingdom of Judah was being threatened by the rising powers of the Assyrians. There was unrest all around Judah at the time. Judah, the kings of Judah, had tried to form an alliance with two other kingdoms, which God did not approve of, because they were trusting in their own strength. They were trusting in their own power. They were trusting their own, I'm going to use this, wiles, the wiles, their wiliness to try to, make things work so that they would be protected instead of trusting in God. And we all know how that turns out. When we try to do our own thing and go our own ways, well, that didn't work out too well for the people of Judah during that time. And so they were in a really difficult, challenging time, a time of great political unrest. And, if you go back into the Chronicles and of the Kings, you'll find that, in Judah, if you were the king of Judah, you had to always be watching your back because there was someone out to try to assassinate you and take over in Judah. And that had happened a number of times before Amaziah had come to the throne, Uzziah's father. The nation during this time as well had turned a deaf ear to the Lord. It was a very troubling time. And this was the time in which Isaiah's prophetic calling began, during the reign of King Uzziah. And it was during this time of the reign of King Uzziah that, we have to understand who King Uzziah was. Because it is, again, very significant to understanding the overall vision that Isaiah receives. Isaiah became co-regent in Judah with his father Amaziah when he was the age of 16. And the reason he became co-regent was his father, Amaziah, was so concerned about being assassinated that he did not want to stay in one place for very long, not even in Jerusalem. And so he set up Uzziah as his co-regent, co-ruler, co-monarch at the time. And so that meant that he could travel around the territory all over the place and not be in any one place at any one time for very long, so that he wouldn't be a target. It's very hard to hit a moving target. And so in all fairness to Uzziah, at age 16, he was given a lot of responsibility to be the figurehead of the government and to lead the government. And it wasn't until Uzziah was 40 years of age that his father was ultimately assassinated by someone. And therefore, Uzziah became the sole ruler, our monarch, in Judah. Now, in his younger years, Uzziah followed the Lord faithfully, and he accomplished much good in Judah. He was very faithful. He was very connected to God. He was looking to bring stability and help the people of Judah to rise up and to be strong as a people. But after becoming sole monarch, his heart shifted. Something in his heart shifted because of his pride. And he began to think, look at all the things that I have done. Look at all the things. Look at all the good things that we've accomplished. Look at all. You know what? It's because I have been so good to everybody, such a great ruler that I have done all these things. Does it sound familiar to any one of us? The story of Lucifer back in Ezekiel, where it talks about the archangel Lucifer who pride welled up in his heart, and he said, I will ascend to the throne. I will be the one to receive all the worship of heaven. And this is what was playing in Uzziah's heart as he became a very proudful monarch, a ruler. And in his 50s, when he came into that age, he became so proud, so full of pride that he entered into the temple and he burnt incense before the Lord, which was only a practice that the priests could do. But he took that role on for himself. And when he was rebuked by the chief priest, he became enraged, and he threw a fit of anger. He was overwhelmed with anger towards the priests and towards God, that his offering wasn't acceptable. And what did the Lord do? We're told that the Lord struck him with leprosy, and instantly he was made an untouchable. In those days, when you had leprosy, a skin disease, it was a terrible thing, very terrible thing. It's still a terrible disease today. But in those days, there was no cure, there was no antibiotics, there was nothing. And the only way that you could deal with leprosy was to go into seclusion. And so for the next 12 years, he went into seclusion and appointed his son Jotham as his co-regent the one who would rule over Judah for him. And what's really sad about the story of Uzziah is this. There's no record of Uzziah ever repenting before the Lord for his pridefulness, for his act of burning incense towards to the Lord when he shouldn't have done that for his sins. And what's even more sad is that he died alone. And he died, when he died, his body did not receive a kingly burial. There's not a word that is spoken about Uzziah the king in terms of all the good things that he did, all of those things. All we're told is the words that Isaiah writes when he says, in the year that King Uzziah died. That's it. In the year that King Uzziah died. It was a very dark and uncertain time of transition for the people of Judah. Just as Uzziah had hardened his heart so the people of Judah had hardened their hearts towards God. It was a very dark time. Yet, Isaiah says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and lifted up. Into such a time as this, God gave Isaiah a transforming vision that would define his life, his calling, and his mission. And God would use him to deliver one of the most comprehensive prophetic pictures of Jesus Christ in the entire Old Testament. In the year that King Uzziah died, in that dark time, in that time when it seemed like everything was collapsing in the kingdom of Judah, Isaiah said, I saw God high and lifted up. You know, Charles Swindoll has said this about the book of Isaiah. He says, the book of Isaiah provides us with the most comprehensive prophetic picture of Jesus Christ in the entire Old Testament. It includes the full scope of his life, the announcement of his coming, his virgin birth, his proclamation of the good news, his sacrificial death, and his return to claim his own. Because of these and numerous other Christological texts in Isaiah, the book stands as a testament of hope in the Lord, the one who saves his people from themselves. See, the book of Isaiah, this prophecy of Isaiah, is both a message of judgment and a message of God's grace, his mercy, and hope to us. And this is why it's so important for us to get an understanding of this, this initial vision that Isaiah had, because it sets the tone for all of the visions that he has going forward regarding the judgment of God, regarding the redemption of God's people Israel, and the glorious future that God has in store for his people. And so let's look now at this vision. We're going to look at it very, very quickly this morning, not spend a lot of time on this, but I just want to highlight a couple things about this vision that Isaiah had, his upward, inward, and outward vision. What did Isaiah see in this vision? He saw the Lord high and exalted, seated on a throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple. You know, as I was reflecting on this week, one of the things that really struck me was, you know, at that passage of scripture that I read from Hebrews talks about, in the past God spoke to us through the prophets, to our forefathers through the prophets in many ways and in various forms. He's talking about Isaiah, how God spoke to him. But in these last days, he has spoken to us through who? Through Jesus, through his Son, who is the radiance of God's glory, the exact representation of his being. So when we hear Isaiah say, I saw the Lord high and exalted, seated on the throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple, the glory of God filled the temple, who is he talking about? He's talking about God the Father, creator of everything, God the Son, Jesus, and God the Holy Spirit. He's talking about the fullness of the Godhead. He saw God in all his fullness, seated on the throne, high and lifted up, high and exalted above everything. And you know, when I was thinking about that this week, I was thinking, you know, it was a really difficult time, that transition from Uzziah to what was next. We don't know what was going to be next for Israel. We didn't know if Jotham would be able to survive, or if Ahaz, the one that was coming next, was going to be better or worse than Uzziah. We didn't know what that next year was going to be like. But Isaiah says, I saw God. In that very difficult transition, I saw God high and exalted above everything. You know, though earthly kings may pass away or governments fall, doesn't that sound familiar? You know, today, we don't know what's going to happen in the new year. The government of Canada may fall. We don't know what that's going to bring. We don't know what's going to happen with our neighbors next door to us in the States. We don't know what's going to, but uncertain times. But Isaiah's vision, upward vision, reminds us that God is above all. Amen? Amen? Amen. Amen. God is above all. He is on the throne, high and lifted up. And not only that, but the majesty and the glory of God's presence, the visible presence of God, appeared to Isaiah as a massive kingly robe that filled the full extent of the temple in heaven. His glory was just like a billowing robe all over the place up in heaven. And his glory is that for us today too. When we see God high and exalted over everything, we know that God is, his glory is uncontainable. And his glory fills this temple, our temple, the temple of our hearts, as we keep our eyes fixed on him. We experience his presence, his overwhelming presence in our lives. And we understand what, we can begin to understand then the what Isaiah experienced as he saw God high and lifted up, the glory filling the temple. He was filled with the reverence of, of worship of the heavenly creatures who were declaring the God's holiness and glory, which reverberated in heaven and over the whole earth. It's a beautiful upward vision of God in his fullness, in control of all things, on the throne, and his glory radiating in heaven and on earth. You know, if we're going to have a vision for the future, if we're going to understand how God is going to be leading us into this new year, we too need to have that upward vision, keeping our eyes fixed on Jesus, high and exalted, Lord over all. And not only that, but this vision of Isaiah was also an inward vision, an inward-looking vision. As we see Isaiah's response, you know, when he saw God high and lifted up, he said, "Woe to me, I am ruined, for I'm a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty." You know, Isaiah's upward vision of God caused him to see himself in the light of God's presence. It caused him to have a time of inner reflection. Who am I? How am I in relation to God? Who am I in relation to God? And he says, "I'm undone. I can't stand in God's presence." When he saw who God was, and he experienced the glory and the holiness of God, it caused him to look and to see his own fallen shortness, where he fell short of the glory of God. And in that moment of reflection, in that moment of personal awareness in the presence of God, he saw himself for who he was. You know, as we go into this new year, an important question for all of us to ask ourselves, in response to being able to see God's glory and see his holiness, see him high above all in our life, what is God exposing about our spiritual condition? What are we seeing in ourselves that needs to be transformed by God's grace, his mercy? You know, Isaiah's prayer here is one of repentance. He says, "Woe is me, I'm undone. I'm a man who lives among a people of unclean, a man of unclean lips who lives among a people of unclean lips, and I have seen God for who he is, and I repent of my sinfulness." Isaiah's prayer is the prayer that we read about in Psalm 139, where David says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. See if there's any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." You know, as we look to this new year, you know, it's a good thing for us to take some time to just reflect and to see, God, where have I been this last year where I really shouldn't have been? Where are those things that have overwhelmed me, those things that have taken me on a sidetrack, moved me away from where I should be with you in our relationship? And Lord, search me and know me and guide me in the way everlasting. Help me to get onto that right track. And this was the inward journey, the inward vision that Isaiah had. And as God revealed to him more of this vision, Isaiah saw one of the seraphs who flew to him with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from the altar. And with it, he touched Isaiah's mouth. And the angel said to him, "See, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sins atoned for." You know, as we look into this new year, it's really amazing to see in response to Isaiah's prayer of repentance, God sent one of the seraphim to him with a burning coal from the altar in heaven. And God's refining fire of mercy, purification, and healing was poured out onto Isaiah. And this is this coal that from the altar represents the atoning sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Isaiah didn't know it at that time, but that's what it was. Because, you know, as we understand from Revelation chapter 13, verse 8, Christ is the Lamb that was slain from the foundations of the world, which predates long before Isaiah's time. So Christ's eternal sacrifice from the altar in heaven touched Isaiah's lips, and he was healed. He was cleansed from his sin. This is the atoning work of God. And you know, as we go through into this new year, it's really important for us to understand that it is only God's coal from the altar in heaven, that eternal sacrifice from Jesus that Jesus made on our behalf. When it touches our lips, our iniquity is taken away and our sin is purged. It is God's pardoning love that brought about Isaiah's transformation. And it is God's pardoning love that even today brings about our own transformation before God. And that's important for us to understand as we seek to move into this year with a clean heart, a pure heart before God as his people. Which brings us to the final part of this vision that Isaiah had. It was Isaiah's vision was an outward vision as well. Because, you know, after he had experienced the God high and lifted up, that upward vision, after he had experienced that inward vision of cleansing and atoning work by God in his life, he had this outward vision. And it was one of mission. He then heard the voice of the Lord saying to him, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" And he said, "Here am I, send me." Isaiah's outward vision was shaped by his experience of God's presence and his humble posture before the Lord. And with Isaiah's sins removed, his spiritual ears were opened and he could hear the voice of God speaking to him. God saying to him, "Isaiah, this is what you are to do for me. This is my mission for you." You know, God is always speaking to us, inviting us to be partners with him in mission, the mission that he has for us. But are we listening? Are we listening to his voice? Are we listening for his call to action? In this new year, this is the posture that we need to take up as God's people, as this part of God's forever family. Are we listening? Are we really listening to what God would have us do for him in this new year? It was important for us to understand that God can't speak through us if he can't speak to us. And so, you know, what was this mission that God left with Isaiah as he shared this mission or this vision with him? He said, go and tell. It sounds really familiar, you know. That's what Jesus said to the disciples when he was leaving them. When they saw him on that day when he ascended into heaven, he said, you will be my witnesses. When the Holy Spirit comes upon you and you will be my witnesses, you will go to Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. You will be my witnesses. Go and tell. Go and tell this people. That was what Isaiah was given. And he was given this mission with no other parameters other than to say, go and tell, no matter what the response is. No matter if people respond to you or people turn the deaf ear to you, no matter if they accept your offer, your message of grace and peace and kindness and genuineness, and no matter what you give, continue to give this word, no matter what the response. And Isaiah said, but Lord, how long? How long am I supposed to do this? How long am I to continue to give the word to people around you, the good news to people around you? The good news that God revealed to him about the coming Messiah. And we have received that good news. And he, you know, if we look at this outward vision that Isaiah had, it really speaks to us and says, how long are we to continue to give out the word of God, the good news to everybody around us? For as long as it takes. That's what he said to Isaiah. He says, until the cities lie ruined and without inhabitant, until the houses are left deserted and the fields ruined and ravaged, until the Lord has sent everyone far away and the land is utterly forsaken, and though a tenth remain in the land, it will be again laid waste. But as the terebinth and the oak leave stumps when they are cut down, so the holy seed will be the stump in the land. What he's saying there is he's saying, you know what? My judgment is going to fall on the people of Judah. They're going to be scattered to the far ends of the earth. They're going to be, no one's going to be left in the land except those who are faithful. Those who have ears to hear, hearts to understand, and are willing to be healed. And you don't know who they are, Isaiah. You don't know who they are, church. But our mission this next year is one of getting the word of God out to whoever will listen for as long as it takes. This is the vision that Isaiah had, an upward vision of God. He's in control, an inward vision. God, I need to keep my heart right before you and trust your cleansing, atoning power in my life. And God, in response, I will be your witness to this people at this very difficult time this year, 2025. That's ahead of us. So, as we close this time in God's word today, just remember the words of that song that we just sung. Be thou my vision, O Lord of my heart. Not be all else to me, save that thou art. Thou and thou only, first in my heart. High King of heaven, my vision thou art. Let's pray. Our Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for the way that you speak to us. We thank you for the way that you reveal to us your word through the vision of Isaiah. You've reminded us this morning of how we are to approach this new year looking to you as the one who is above all, looking inwardly to see where we need to keep our hearts right with you, and Lord, being willing to serve you and to serve the people around us and to bring your word to the world that is so much in need of your healing word of salvation through Jesus Christ. And so, Lord, just go before us, quicken our hearts, give us ears to hear, hearts to understand, so that we might be healed and that we might be agents of healing in this land of Canada. Lord, we love you, we praise you, we thank you for the privilege it is to be part of this forever family of yours. We give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.